Na da da, Jaya Kundari Mahi,
Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya
Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kundari Hari. Gopi Chandra Balabha Jaya Griva Radhari Jaya Griva Radhari Gopi Chandra Balabha Jaya Griva Radhari Jaya Griva Radhari Yasodhanandana Jaya Vajjanarayana Yasodhanandana Jaya Vajjanarayana Yamana Chira Banachari Jaya Chandra Bihari Jaya Chandra Bihari Yamana Chira Banachari Jaya Chandra Bihari Jaya Chandra Bihari Jaya Madhava Jaya Chandra Bihari Jaya Madhava Jaya Chandra Bihari Gopi Chandra Balabha Jaya Griva Radhari Jaya Griva Radhari Gopi Chandra Balabha Jaya Griva Radhari Jaya Griva Radhari Jaya Devina Narayani Yatra Nandana Jaya Bhagavanaya Jayana Yatra Nandana Jaya Bhagavanaya Bhagavanaya Yamuna Shiravan Sari Jaya Changadi Hari Jaya Changadi Hari Jaya Changadi Hari Yamuna Shiravan Sari Jaya Changadi Hari Jaya Changadi Hari Radha Madhava Hare Jaya Radha Shyam Radha Shyam Radha Shyam Jaya Radha Shyam Raja Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Vishnu Prabhupada Paramahansa Mr. Chair for the Samadhi Divine Grace of I Chaitanya and the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta
Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
So we're reading the chapter 19, Madhyalila. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 19, text number 201 up to 303. So I'll just say the first. This is the first one. Krishna Yadi Rukmini Re Kaila Parihas Krishna, you can repeat, go ahead. Krishna Yadi Rukmini Re Kaila Parihas Krishna Chadi Bena Jani Rukmini Ra Tras
Krishna Chadi Bena
Although Krishna was joking with Queen Rukmini, she was thinking that he was going to give up her company, and she was therefore shocked. Text number 302. This is a different mantra. This is in Sanskrit, not Bengali. Okay, you repeat after me, okay? Tasya sudukha paya shoka vinasta buddha.
Tasya sudukha paya shoka vinasta buddha.
Asat shladhat palayako vyajanam papata.
Asat shladhat palayako vyajanam papata.
Dehasya viklavadya sahasaiva mukhyam.
Dehasya
Rambe Vata Vihata Pradikirya Kesham.
Rambe Vata Vihata Pradikirya Kesham.
Tasya Siddhuta Baya Shoka Vinasa Buddha.
Tasya Siddhuta Baya Shoka Vinasa Buddha.
Asach Shalat Layato Vyajanam Apata.
Asach Shalat Palayato.
Dehascha viklavadya sahasaiva mukhyati.
Dehascha viklavadya sahasaiva mukhyati.
Brahmeva vata vihata pravityuyati shan.
Brahmeva vata vihata pravityuyati shan.
You can do that one. Yeah. Tasya sudukha baya shoka vinasa buddha.
Tasya sudukha baya shoka vinasa buddha.
Asat shalat valayato vyajanam papata.
Asat shalat valayato vyajanam papata.
Dehasya viklavadya sasaiva mukhyan. Rambeva vata vihata pradikirya kesham.
Rambeva vata vihata pradikirya kesham.
Anybody else? They can do it in whichever nature they want. Sasya
siddhuka vayasoka vinasa buddhe.
Word for word. Tasya.
Tasya.
Of her.
Of her.
Sudukha baya.
Sudukha baya.
Due to great distress and fear.
Due to great distress and fear.
Shoka.
Shoka.
And lamentation.
Lamentation.
Vinashta.
Vinashta.
Loss.
Loss.
Ude.
Ude.
His intelligence.
His intelligence.
Astat.
Astat.
From the hand.
From the hand.
Shlatat.
Being loose.
Vilayata. Bangles.
Vyajanam.
The fan.
Papata.
Fell down.
Deha.
body,
cha,
also,
Biklavara,
paralyzed by fear,
ya,
whose understanding,
sahas
eva,
suddenly,
Mukyan,
Muyan,
fainting,
Ramba
Eva,
like
a banana tree,
Vatavihata,
dashed by a high wind,
Pradikirya,
scattering,
Keshan,
the hair.
Translation.
While Krishna was joking with Rukmini in Dwarka, she was full of distress, fear, and lamentation. She had also lost her intelligence. She dropped her hand bangles and the fan she was using to fan the Lord. Her hair became disarrayed and she fainted and fell suddenly, appearing like a banana tree knocked down by high winds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-24 refers to Krishna speaking to Rukmini in his bedroom. Just to test her sincerity, he began to joke with her, presenting himself as poor, incapable, and unfit to be her lover. Not understanding that he was joking, Rukmini took him seriously and thought that he wanted to leave her company. This misunderstanding made her very unhappy, and her whole body was affected by her fan and bangles. Her fan and bangles fell to the floor, and she also fell down like a banyan tree, knocked down by high winds. Okay, text 203, this is back on Jandore, you can repeat after me. Kevalara Shuddha Prema Aishwarya Na Jane.
Kevalara Shuddha Prema Aishwarya Na Jane.
Aishwarya Dekile Nija Sambandha Semane.
Aishwarya Dekile Nija Sambandha Semane.
Translation. In the stage of Kevala, unalloyed devotion, a devotee does not consider the unlimited opulence of Krishna. Even though he experiences it, he takes seriously only his own relationship with Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee reaches the stage of pure unalloyed devotion, especially in friendship with Krishna, he forgets the Lord's opulences, although he sees them, and he considers himself equal to Krishna. There is no question of actually comparing oneself to Krishna. But because the devotee is so advanced in Krishna consciousness, he is able to behave with Krishna as he would with an ordinary man. So this is very wonderful pastimes of Krishna. This is related by Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami. And it's a wonderful chapter. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, he is instructing Rupa Goswami so Rupa Goswami can write books about it. Although one would imagine that Rupa Goswami already knew a lot of these things because he came from the spiritual world, he was Rupa Manjari in the spiritual world. But just so that we could read them ourselves, Lord Chaitanya spoke them, and they were written down by Krishnadas Kaviraj so that we could become enlightened. And then to hear from Lord Chaitanya directly, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no doubt that this is the absolute truth, because Lord Chaitanya was inconceivably great, and he did things that only the Supreme Lord could do. So therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was Brihaspati, actually Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods. So the demigods are very powerful, they're controlling everything. And all the hurricanes and tornadoes and the weather, everything is controlled, your wealth, even our ability to speak or do anything is all controlled. So the demigods are very powerful, and he's the spiritual master of the demigods, Brihaspati. and Sabha Bhuma Bhattacharya was an incarnation of Brihaspati. So he's a very enlightened person, very intelligent person. Although he wasn't as intelligent until he spoke to Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya had to explain to him that actually he was the supreme, or he had to explain Vedanta to him, because Sabha Bhuma Bhattacharya was an impersonal. He was like a dry oil cake. Dry oil cakes aren't very tasty, so that's how he was compared to be by his brother-in-law. What was his name? Gopinath Acharya. So he was also a great devotee, and he was actually more advanced in that particular time anyway, because he could understand that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Being, because Lord Chaitanya had fainted on seeing the beauty of Lord Jagannath. When we see Lord Jagannath, we may not faint because we don't see the beauty there, because Lord Jagannath, he has a strange appearance. But when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he saw Krishna. And this was actually explained further on in the one chapter where Lord Chaitanya was gone. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya was he was in the temple. He was standing by the Garuda Stamba, and because he wanted to see Krishna so badly, Lord Chaitanya, because he was showing us how to love Krishna. So we don't, may not, I don't anyway, have this desire to see Krishna so badly. Because if I did, I would come to Mangalarti every day on time, be there, you know, every program to see, because the deity is none different from the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya, he saw Lord Jagannath. He'd been hankering, please show me the Lord of my life. Where is he? Where is he? And then the doorman opened the door, and Lord Chaitanya was standing behind the Garuda Stamba, which is a pillar outside of the Jagannath temple. If you haven't been to Puri, Jagannath Puri, it's one of the most sacred places in India, one of the four main holy places, Puri. And so this Jagannath temple has been there for thousands of years, and Jagannath has been worshipped there for thousands of years. And still, when they have the Rathiatra festival, 5 million people will come, and they live stream it on TV, and millions of people watch it. So it's a special place. Because Prabhupada wasn't so happy because they wouldn't let Western people into the temple, and he wouldn't even speak in public there because he felt so offended that they wouldn't let his devotees go into the temple. Although I was with actually Bhaktitirtha Swami, you probably know, if you don't know, he was a black-bodied devotee, and you could mistake him for being Indian because he was very dark. So when I was there in Puri with him, it was interesting because he lost all his clothes on the plane and he didn't really care. He was very detached. This is back 79 or something, I don't know, it was a long time ago. Anyway, he was very detached, he lost all his clothes, but he didn't care, especially he didn't care because the priest in the temple didn't understand, he couldn't speak Hindi or anything, or any Indian, Orissi, or Bengali or anything like that, to show that he was Indian, but I guess he acted as his dharma or something. But he took him, the priest took him right up to the Jagannath, the front of Jagannath, and showed him the deity. It's amazing. He's a special devotee. He passed away. But he was special. You should read his book. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya, he saw Lord Jagannath. And he was so happy. But then he saw that Jagannath had changed into Krishna. And that he was playing a flute. And this is all described in one book by Raghunatha Das Goswami, because I think that book is Stava. No, it's Stava. Stava. Kripa. Yeah, that's the one. By Raghunatha Das Goswami. Raghunatha Das Goswami, very advanced devotee. One of the six Goswamis. And so, Krishna, he is playing with Rukmini here. Krishna likes to have fun. That's what his life's all about, just having fun. He has so many people that crack jokes for him and helps him, you know, just have different pastimes with the gopis. Sometimes the gopis are the cowherd girls, and they're very much in love with Krishna, and Krishna likes to joke around with them, and so they're on a very high level, the gopis. Here you see Rukmini, she's not on the highest level like them, but still she loves Krishna very intensely. So when Krishna is joking with her, she feels completely devastated. She's very bewildered that she doesn't understand that he's joking, that he's testing her love. He's testing her to see how faithful she is, whether she would say, "Oh, I don't care, you can go, I'll find another lover. I'll find somebody else. You can do what you want." But it's not like that. The gopis and all these elevated devotees of Krishna, they are so in love with Krishna, they can't live without Krishna. So whatever Krishna does, they will never give up their devotion to Krishna. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada talks about how Krishna was testing her. So Krishna sometimes tests his devotees' sincerity. You know, do you really want me? Because, you know, I'm going to test you. I might take something away that you're attached to, or put you into a situation which you may wonder, well, does Krishna really, you know, does he really exist? Does he really care about me? Why is he doing this to me? But a devotee, a real devotee, and Prabhupada said, we're trying to become devotees. You know, to be a devotee is a very advanced stage, because the devotee is so devoted, and Krishna is the only thing in their life. What was that? Krishna's fruit?
Yeah, from the farm.
I see. So, a devotee is so in love with Krishna that even when Krishna does something which may, by material estimation, may be very difficult, but a devotee never ever has any doubt that Krishna, that, you know, Krishna is the most wonderful person. So Rukmini, she's like that, you know, she's the great devotee, Rukmini. And she is very upset because Krishna's threatening to leave her. So this is very advanced knowledge. And this is all in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you haven't read the Srimad Bhagavatam, how many of you have not read the Srimad Bhagavatam? And you need to get the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's only $200. It's the best thing, best investment you could possibly make. $200 is nothing. But to have the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the most valuable thing. Because even an ugly man becomes beautiful if he has knowledge. Yeah, this is what Chanaka Pandit said. So, you know, even a, what is beauty in the material world? It's skin deep. Skin deep. It's only as you scratch away, what do you get? So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of the Vedas. The Amala Purana is the spotless history of the universe. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it takes you through the whole purification process of hearing different activities and pastimes and the history of the universe, all the different kings and their activities, and it culminates in Krishna. But you have to read the first 9 cantos, ideally, before you read the 10th canto. But if you read the Krishna book, which Srila Prabhupada published, because he was afraid, and he was right, that he wouldn't get around to translating all the books. So he translated the first part of the 10th canto. The 10th canto is very long. It's the longest canto. Now Srimad Bhagavatam talks about a lot of different things. It talks about the material creation. It talks about how time was created. It talks about how the different elements come into being. You know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. It talks about the whole one canto, many parts of the third canto, all about Kapila Dev enlightening his mother, Devahuti. Kapila Dev is an incarnation of Krishna, and he's enlightening his mother about the miseries of material life. It talks about, you know, you have to read this. It's very, very heavy reading. You know, how the baby is in the womb being bitten by bugs, and then when the baby is born, it's so painful, and the baby's crying, and then the soul and the baby's body, the body gets old, then you die, then when you die, you're taken by the Yamadutas. It's still in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's heavy. And there are other parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam which are very heavy, which talks about how the time factor is like a machine with razor-like 300, I can't remember exactly how it describes it, but it's very, very, it puts you off material life. That's the point. It puts you off material life. And then it talks about many different things, but it mentions Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a great devotee who had some material desires because he was insulted by his father or his stepmother. And therefore he wanted to get a kingdom bigger than his father. And he ended up getting the pole star, which is the biggest planet, because he worshipped, because his mother, who was a devotee, Suniti, she told him to worship Krishna or Vishnu, Narayan. So he worshipped, and you know, he became purified by the worship, and then, you know, when he was offered material things, he didn't want them anymore. And it talks about Lord Ram, Lord Ramachandra. It talks about Lord Nrisimhadev. It talks about Prahlad Maharaj. Basically, it's trying to teach people what are the good qualities that we should strive for. So there's one chapter there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. And there are 30 qualities that one should develop. Because you can't become a resident of the spiritual world unless you give up all your bad qualities. And a lot of the Mahabharata is about Dharma, about what is, you know, real morality and what is irreligion. And many of the stories, but that's all to prepare you so that you become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, everybody is a perfect being. They don't have any bad qualities. They're not, they're not duplicitous, they're clean, they're very intelligent, they're very non-envious. Anyway, you can read the whole list of 30 qualities, and it says that every human being has to develop these qualities to be considered to be a human being. So the Srimad Bhagavatam goes through all these different instructions and how Lord Nisringadeva also, he's such an important incarnation, all the different incarnations of the Lord. And Lord Nisringadeva, you know, we should pray to Lord Nisringadeva to purify the heart, to, with his nails like thunderbolts, to purify our material desires. And how we should pray, Sasyasya Vishvasya Kalapasitam Jayanti Bhutani Shivamatodaya, how we should pray for the welfare of others, that they may take up devotional service, because as long as they don't take up devotional service, they will always be envious of others. And if you're envious of others, you can't go back to the spiritual world. So many lessons in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the 10th canto, it's all building up to the 10th canto. And it's building up to Krishna's appearance. And you go through Krishna's childhood pastimes. And all the different demons that attack Krishna, they represent some kind of anatha, some bad quality that we can come across or that we have within us. And then it comes to the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. And those are considered to be the highest pastimes. And those pastimes are actually Lord Chaitanya specifically, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're reading here today, Lord Chaitanya came to actually to glorify those pastimes and to give us a glimpse into those pastimes so that we become attracted to them, and that ultimately by becoming attracted to them we could go back there. So this is very confidential, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. You know, there are many different forms of God. There's 2 million temples in India. And many of them worship Narayan. They worship Shiva. If you've been to India, you see some of the temples there. I can't remember the names of all the beautiful temples. I went to South India a few years ago and I went to some of the major temples. And there's temples of Lord Shiva. And they're so amazing. And they're so big. And they're all carved out of stone. And then you go to Tirupati, and you know, most people queue up for 10 hours to go into Tirupati, and you go and you see the deity for like 10 seconds, if you're lucky. That's Balaji. So Balaji is Krishna. But many temples, they don't worship Krishna, they worship forms of, different forms of God. Like there's many temples where they worship Nisringadeva, or Lakshmi, or, you know, many Durga, or so many different forms. But ultimately, one who worships Krishna, that is the rarest, that is the highest thing. That's just an amazing achievement. And in the previous part of the chapter, actually, Lord Chaitanya is explaining that out of all the living entities, there's many, many unlimited living entities. We can't understand how many living entities there are. It's inconceivable. So, out of all the different living entities, someone may become an animal. They may become, you know, they may become a cow or a monkey. And from there, they may become a human being. And amongst the human beings, you see there's so many types of different human beings in this world. And some of them aren't super smart. You know, if you go on book distribution, you'll find out pretty quick. There are not many smart people in this world. So some of them, you know, they become religious people, they become Christians or Muslims. And they're not so smart either, to be honest. Very rarely. But somebody who becomes a devotee of Krishna, that is the rarest thing. And that is just a great achievement. And so we have the opportunity to become a devotee of Krishna, and this is the perfection of life. And to hear about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes with his associates, like there's one associate, he's called Puri. Puri, he's the son of Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen is a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So Puri Das, he was a young boy of 7. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to get him to chant Hare Krishna, but he wouldn't chant it. He was, for some reason, he refused to chant Hare Krishna. And then someone said, well, he must be chanting within his mind. And he kept refusing to chant. And then after some time, he composed this beautiful poem. He was only 7 years of age. And he is also a Nitya Siddha who descended from the spiritual world. So he said, maybe, you know the Bengali?
Edward
in sense. Was in okay. Can you say it? Anyway, I'll say the translation. Lord Sri Krishna is like a bluish lotus flower for the ears, and he's ointment for the eyes, a necklace of Indranila gems for the chest, and universal ornaments for the gopi dams of Vrindavan. That let that Lord Sri Hare Krishna be glorified. So he became a great poet, Kavi Karnapur, and Lord Chaitanya, you know, he appears specifically to give out love of God. He is the most munificent incarnation. So he was showing how to be a devotee. And of course we cannot imitate him. But he was living in Puri throughout the whole day and the night. He was directly relishing Krishna's beauty, fragrance, and taste as if he were touching him hand to hand. So, when the prasadam was offered to the Jagannath deity, the Jagannath prasadam is very famous. I don't know if it was better back in the day, 500 years ago, or what. I mean, it's still good, but may have been better. Everything's gone down now, I mean. Huh?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
So Lord Chaitanya, when the arti was being offered and the prasadam was offered, he said it was so nice that even the aroma would drive one mad. And then he said that it was like millions and millions of times better than nectar. And he was fully satisfied. And his body, his hair stood on end. And he shed incessant tears just by tasting the prasadam offered to the Lord. And then he said, whoever tastes the prasadam of the Lord, I can read it, it's very wonderful. He said, whoever tastes it, this chapter is very wonderful. Antulila 16. It's really, I wish I had a good memory. Okay, here we go. These ingredients, such as sugar, camphor, black pepper, cardamom, cloves, butter, spice, and licorice, are all material. Everyone has tasted these material substances before. However, the Lord continued, and these ingredients, their extraordinary tastes and uncommon fragrances, just taste them and see the difference in the experience. Apart from the taste, even the fragrance pleases the mind and makes one forget any other sweetness besides its own. See, once you've tasted prasadam, you don't want to eat anything else. I mean, honestly speaking, not all prasadam is the same, but somebody who knows how to cook and offer it to Krishna, that prasadam, it's amazing. You don't want to taste, you never want to taste anything. So, a fragrance and taste that are uncommon and greatly enchanting that make one forget all other experiences, attributes of Krishna's lips. This prasadam has been made available only as a result of many pious activities, now tasted with great faith and devotion. So only after many pious activities can you taste prasadam. Loudly chanting the holy name of Hari, all of them tasted the prasadam. As they tasted it, their minds became mad in the ecstasy of love. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy to recite some verses. Thus Ramananda Roy spoke as follows. O hero of charity, this is from the 10th canto. This is why the 10th canto is such a, you know, you have to become qualified, really. Although it's in the Krishna book, you can read it right now. But to really understand the deep meaning may take some time. And it's not for the common man. This is very confidential knowledge. So this verse, O hero of charity, please deliver, this is the gopis speaking, please deliver us unto the nectar of your lips. They will unto us the nectar of your lips. That nectar increases lusty desires for enjoyment and diminishes lamentation in the material world. Kindly give us the nectar of your lips, which are touched by your transcendentally vibrating flute. For that nectar makes all human beings forget all other attachments. Upon hearing Ramananda Roy quote this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Then he recited the following verse, which had been spoken by Srimati Radharani in great anxiety. So the gopis, they're not trying to enjoy with Krishna. They enjoy by seeing Krishna engaged in his loving affairs with the other gopis, with Radharani specifically. So, you know, they feel ecstatic by feeling the ecstatic of the ecstasy of Radharani. But they're privy to the pastimes, they can see them. Because some of them, they're bringing, you know, betel nuts to be chewed by Krishna. And sometimes, you know, when Krishna spits out the betel, they get to taste a little bit and they become completely overwhelmed with love for Krishna. My dear friend, the all-surpassing nectar from the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna can be obtained only after many, many pious activities. The beautiful gopas of Vrindavan, that nectar vanquishes the desire for all other tastes. Madan Mohan always chews pan that surpasses the nectar of heaven. He is certainly increasing the desires of my tongue. Anyway, it's all amazing. So, in the stage of Kevala, unalloyed devotion, a devotee does not consider the unlimited opulence of Krishna, even though he experiences it. He takes seriously only his own relationship with Krishna. So we're trying to come to that point where we're qualified to go back to the spiritual world. And so it's a gradual process, but we have to hear these pastimes. Because if we hear these pastimes, then automatically we become purified. And it's all about becoming purified, because that love is there in the heart. It's already eternally in your heart, but it takes a long time. And you have to be very patient. And you should never give up. You should never think the process doesn't work. It's just, it can be very slow. For me, it's very slow. It may take many lifetimes. I'm not going to say, you know, that I'm going back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. Who knows? I don't know. I say, whatever Krishna wants to do with me, that is perfect. Whatever it is. So we should be patient. These are all instructions. Rupa Goswami, he's learnt this from Lord Chaitanya. Patience, confidence, determination, then we can actually get the result. But it takes time. So be patient, keep coming to Mangalati. Even though it's a bit austere, a little bit cold, maybe the singer's not the best singer, but still, you're becoming purified. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments or reflections? Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
So, my question, it revolves around, like, the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami.
Right.
And I've been thinking about this, and it's kind of intriguing that you're bringing up their pastimes, in a way, in today's class. And my question revolves around, like, before Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were known as Rupa and Sanatana, they were ministers.
Right.
But my question is although they were, like, they didn't take that step, they didn't walk the Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu, they were still the same persons. My question is, how do we, or should we, say for instance in this case, Would there be the same benefit from serving Rupa Goswami, either say for after he followed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or does it even matter? Is it the timeline of like A to Z, like?
So he didn't really, because you wouldn't really follow him before he gave up his Muslim name, because
yes.
You know, we don't know of any books that he wrote before that. So
yeah.
You're following him when he manifested his devotional side.
So my question is even before he started writing and doing all
right.
the service, he was still the same person, but he was going through an uncovering. I'm just kind of wrap my head around like this whole process you're speaking of, like having patience and all.
He was. Can you answer?
This is the role of Jogamaya, what I understand, because it's not that they were ever stepped down from their Nitya Siddha position. That's eternally there. And even within the palace of royal king, there was a Gupta Vrindavan, hidden Vrindavan, that Rupa Goswami, Anupam, Sanatan, they had every day. Nobody knew, no connection with the external world. So even if you have a connection while he was a Dobir Khas, as a Muslim man, still spiritual 100% benefit is there. But if you look at from, even because Prabhupada mentioned also,
where is it? Say
one lecture.
Where
this is by Jiva Goswami Pada, gives previous to his, because he was a little child, sucking Mahaprabhu's toe. On the feet when they met. He was not grown up. But he reflects and he says that this is what happened, his father told on the phone. So my question also, like Sanatana Goswami Pad, he was like desperately praying for Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam. Because he glorified Bhagavatam today.
Yeah.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in a form of Brahmana and gave him Bhagavatam. Even when Muslim governor, or Nawab Hussain Shah, he wanted to punish him, but he was studying Bhagavatam.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were like, not publicly, but privately they were into it.
But I don't understand the point of your question, because you can't really learn anything from Rupa Goswami until he converted.
You know that famous verse, Paro Behranani Nari Begroshi Diya Karmasi. That Prabhupada talks about it, that when you are in a family life or you are in a conditional life, how do you serve? So Rupa Goswami Pada, this is meeting before, because after Mahaprabhu took sannyas, they met. They never met physically, I would say. But he wrote the poem that looks like a pearl made of string of pearl.
When did he write that?
Before. From Ramkali to Navadvi. I guess they had a messenger definitely to come and beckon.
What was the poem?
That a lady who is in love with a paramour relationship, she is very attentive to her.
But he wrote that before?
Before.
How do you know?
Oh, it is in Chaitanya Chaitanya.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
When he was Sakiranam?
Govirkas, yeah. And Mahaprabhu's heart was already attracted by it.
Is that the only thing you wrote?
Well, I don't know more details. I'm sure there's more, but what I heard from Chaitanya Chaitanya.
Okay. You have anything else? Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
No, I was just, because you mentioned about this Mataji, or I don't know how you say it. Yeah, she's a Mataji, who climbed on Guru Rasambar to see the Lord. You should be eager. But then I was thinking while you were speaking that...
I didn't mention that.
You mentioned about seeing Lord Chaitanya,
yeah,
saw
I mentioned
him and
about
say, how Lord is very eager.
Yeah.
Then it triggered me immediately, like she committed two offenses.
The lady that climbed onto
climbing on Garuda's Tambo and putting feet on the shoulder of Lord Chaitanya. Just two commits.
Yeah.
But Govinda, he was trying to rectify or correct it. But Mahaprabhu interjected, and not only that, instead he appreciated her eagerness.
Yeah,
so I was like thinking, like, what is then proper? Of course, later on she regretted when she came to external senses.
Yeah.
So my point is, like, Lord Chaitanya had the greed, or she had the greed, I got little kind of. I thought Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radharani, had the real greed. But then he had a discrimination, what is not proper, what is proper. And she didn't have that. So is the greed actually loses the discriminating power? Or I was just curious.
Lord Chaitanya, he wasn't obstructed from seeing Lord Jagannath because she climbed on his shoulder.
Oh, he was very aware, alert.
Yeah, but
that's why he stopped Govinda.
But he could still see Lord Jagannath, couldn't he? I mean,
but her eagerness is more, looks like.
Yeah, but I mean...
She didn't even care who it is, just jumped on.
Anyway, I mean, Lord Chaitanya, she couldn't have had the same feeling as Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya was Radharani.
That's my question, that how is that Lord Chaitanya actually interject and instead he appreciated her?
Well, she may have just been attracted to Lord Jagannath, but, you know, maybe she was a queen in her last, I don't know, who knows, you know, it doesn't say.
I don't
know. So, you know, we don't know the answer to that question. It's just that, you know, Lord Chaitanya is glorifying her enthusiasm, so he's just saying, well, everyone should be enthusiastic to see Lord Jagannath. That's the point, right? That's what it's all about. Yeah? Okay, anything else? Yeah.
As we're having this conversation, I was just thinking, could it just be that, you know, how Lord Chaitanya used different individuals, you know, to glorify a certain aspect of bhakti?
Yeah.
Could he have just used... It's
that's
not the deep issue, you know. Yeah, for evenness.
Yeah, he was definitely using her to tell everybody that we should be enthusiastic to see Lord Jagannath.
Well, it never happened in this temple. If somebody jumped, I wouldn't be embracing a Karmi. Probably you will have we'll pull him out or something.
Yeah. Well, Lord Chaitanya, you know, he sees the good in everybody. We don't see the good in everybody.
That's good. Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya sees the Lord. Anything else?
That's a good point.
All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. That's what he did what?